Hello, welcome to the Photographer's Eye podcast. My name is Omar Gonzalez, and in this episode, we are going to pick the brain of a newborn photographer. It just gives me chills and nightmares thinking about that, because that's actually how I started my professional career. I thought I was going to be this world-famous baby photographer, and I think it's a great avenue for a lot of us. Everyone's always making babies. People need photos of those babies. And you happen to have a camera. So newborn and baby photography is a great way to get a career in photography started. People always need photos. But you have to start by thinking, is this really the genre for me? Now, today we'll be picking the brain of Stephanie Diamond. She's a newborn and baby photographer in my area here in New Jersey, and she does fantastic work. I made so many mistakes as a brand new newborn photographer. I thought it would be really easy. And so you'll see that it's not so easy. Stephanie's going to guide us into some mistakes we should avoid when tackling newborn photography.
I prepared nothing. I speak better that way.
Totally. Hey, guys, I'm here with Stephanie Diamond. Hey, Stephanie. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Omar. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Good, good. We are kind of in the same circle a little bit. We're both in New Jersey.
I am northern New Jersey. I like to see the George Washington Bridge for most of my sessions. Yes. And I do, like you said, newborn and also families and mitzvahs. I like to shake it up a bit. If I just do one type of photography for too long, I get a bit bored. So being able to shake it up and have a newborn in the studio on Monday and a toddler in a field on Tuesday and then a bar mitzvah on the weekend. It keeps life interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say
that way.
You're making me anxious already with all the shoots. I'm like the complete opposite. I was telling you this earlier, but I've been trying to kind of work on my work-life balance a little bit and enjoy just being with the wife, being with the kids more. I've been not taking on some stuff. I've been learning how to say no, because people are like, hey, can you come shoot this little thing? Can you shoot some headshots for me? Can you do act? And it's sometimes you say no and it's liberating.
I agree. I learned that word about 2 years ago, and it was the best word I added to my vocabulary, because you're right, it does free up things. I'm super busy right now just because we're like pandemic catch up, and all of the mitzvahs that were canceled through, you know, March, April, May, June, they're either being rescheduled to now, or we're just doing a family session.
Yeah.
I had a lot of events that were canceled, and I said, you know what, hey, let's put on those dresses and let's just celebrate this time together. Fall is always busy, but this is a particularly busy month. On a business side, I'm just catching up from, you know,
for sure.
The quietness. So
I thought what we'd talk about a little bit today was newborn photography and baby photography, and we'll be showing some photos in this episode, you guys. So you can, if you're listening on the podcast, head over to the YouTube channel and you'll see Stephanie's awesome work. I love all your work. And there's a couple of things I love. Number one is your colors and your lighting are just like on point. They kind of match like what I love. You know, like we have similar styles where you're not, some people over edit. And I think that's something that is important, is you have to find, you're working with families. Do you feel they need like some crazy edit? They don't.
Right. It's often about real life, you know, especially when working on with newborns. Newborns have that little baby acne that will come out in my pictures. No one needs to see the baby acne in your final picture. But like those little tiny milk dots on their nose, that's real.
The
peely skin is real. They sat the in water for 9 months. Yeah. You know, those little like baby features. I like every baby is different. Everyone needs to look different. When we over edit, everyone looks like the same plastic Barbie doll. And that's not real.
I thought I was going to be a great newborn photographer. I thought that it was going to be easy. And my idea, this was 2012. I went on to this this workshop called Creative Live. I don't know if you know Creative Live. They do.
I do.
Yeah. So Sandy Pooch, she's a popular baby photographer, and she was running a course. So I flew to Seattle, and in the audience, like all eager, I'm going to be this great baby photographer. and joined up with my friend Julie, and she was my stylist. Like, she, her job was to like swaddle the babies and kind of put all the little bows on them. But what I discovered quickly was it was not the genre of photography for me, and I made tons of mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we'll talk about in this episode, is if someone is starting out, like, what are some things that they can sort of do? So what's your top tip, maybe, if someone's like, I'm going to start shooting babies?
Patience, patience, and more patience. Often the, you know, street photographers and our family photographers, we're used to working quickly, yeah. Right? We like to throw a funny prompt at a kid and get their reaction and capture that laugh, then move on to the next thing. Newborn photography is the exact opposite. It's calm, it's quiet. My studio, which is that way, I'm right now sitting, for people that are watching, I'm sitting in sort of my parent waiting area right outside of the studio where I've got glass doors so they can see what's going on or they can come in.
Ooh, you keep the parents out.
There's chairs in there also, but the studio is 85 degrees. Okay. We go between 75 and 80, 85, depending on the time of the session. And it's pretty warm. So I like parents to come and they get some coffee and their snacks and they can sit out here and do work. But there are glass doors so they can see or they can be in there with me.
That's cool.
But it's a quiet zone in there. I've got white noise. I've got heat.
You have this thing like the whoa, 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 whoa.
I have a baby shusher. Orange dome, and it just goes shh.
Oh gosh, you don't hear that in your nightmares, do you?
I don't even hear it when it's on anymore. But I've got a separate white noise machine that plays like a heartbeat noise that came from my baby's crib. My baby is now a senior in high school. It was in her room when she was a baby.
Oh wow.
It's a lot of patience, a lot of patience.
That was my number one problem, was my partner, Julie. She had the most patience, and she would swaddle the baby and she would tuck that. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the light. I'm looking at like how hot I am because I'm and I didn't have patience. And I realized and that's important, guys. You have to know, what genre of photography you'll enjoy the most, because if you're not enjoying it, it's really going to show in your photographs. And you could see it. I'll put some of my awful baby photography here, but the kids aren't really swaddled really well, so some of them are like their arms are coming out.
I have parents that say to me, I mean, I'd say most of my sessions, at some point the mom says, I'm bringing you to my house at 3 a.m. because I cannot swaddle that way. He's not as calm in my arms. I mean, I Houdini them in. Like, they are swaddled. They cannot get to their hands. And moms will always say, oh, no, he needs his hands out. He doesn't.
No, no.
They're happier. If I get rid of that hand for them, they can't crawl it up. I mean, sometimes we pull it out on purpose because that's the pose that we're getting.
Yeah. No, my babies were like, my babies were like Madonna. Like, they were all
right. And it's practice. Like, if you look at my things from 2012, it's not what my images from 2020 look like either.
Yeah.
It's practice. It's also knowing. And, you know, I knew that this was a genre that I wanted to stick with. I loved it. It's sort of that calming part of my day. And I get peed on, and there is poop, and there is like the curdled milk that comes up. And this is all part of the glamour of my job. I'm sweating in a sports bra. It is hot. It's
crazy.
But I love it. There's nothing,
you have to,
you know, sweeter to me than that time. And babies come to the studio typically between days 5 and 15. So we're really in that sweet spot.
Yeah.
They're still sleepy or able to be soothed to sleep easily. And they're still curly, right? I can still like curl them up and get those toes how I want them. Ultimately, and I tell every family this that comes in, I say every baby is different. Every session is different. So, you know, you may come to me with, oh, I loved this session that you did last week. I want to duplicate that session. That's not your baby.
No, no.
That baby sat differently in utero. That baby has different likes. That baby has a different, it sounds funny, but babies have a personality. And, you know, some are super strong and some are like jello.
Why'd I get all the crazy ones? Yeah. So how long is the session with each of these?
I have two different sessions. I do a mini session in an hour, and I do my signature session is 2 to 3 hours. Yet I typically am always at that 3 hour mark.
Wow.
The mini session is baby only. We keep that baby wrapped for the whole session. Sometimes I change the wraps. If the baby is super, super out at the end, we'll unwrap. But most of the time they are wrapped, and we go from a few different props to our classic, you know, baby on our sweet smooth blanket.
I think one of the challenges I had too was the whole sales of it, like in-person sales and showing like products and stuff. So I was always great with kids, but I think if you're doing baby photography, part of your packages have to be products and wall. Look behind you, the beautiful wall art you have.
Yeah, 100%. And if I could even flip the camera around, you'd see there's a huge wall in front of me. I love something tangible. Totally. I love being able to, at the end of your session, hand you, here's your image box, right? Yeah. Inside of this box, if I can open it.
It's a USB drive. No.
Are all of these.
That's sweet.
Images. These prints. This is what we have at the end of the day. You know, you have something to hold, to touch, to look at. We're busy, right? We are. Moms are busy. Parents are busy.
They're not going to print.
People are busy.
Yeah.
You hand that USB drive, it gets lost. It's lost in a move. It's lost in the dust. No one does anything with it. So I find that by being because I value product so much and I offer it to clients, I think that I'm bringing in value to them as well, right? Yeah. It's taking one thing off of their to-do list and saying, you know what? Send me a picture of your nursery. We've got 24 inches above the changing table. We've got 60 inches above the crib. Let me finish this space for you. And they're grateful that I can do that, right?
So you're also a designer. You're going in and designing walls.
I do wood.
What is that, a coaster?
These are my best sellers. This is a small wood. I can't turn it properly.
There you go.
And it goes right on a wall with all different others, right? Yeah. We do framed images.
Ooh, and then
it's a finished
wood.
I love my barn wood.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's a finished piece, and you see behind me these big frames and these smaller things that are hung. I have different options. It depends on your style, your aesthetic.
Absolutely. And I think beginners, you have to have people know what your end product is. And I think, Stephanie, that's awesome that people are sitting there. They're already seeing everything. They're holding on to these prints. They don't want a thumb drive after they're in your little waiting
Correct.
Room.
You know, and at our very first interaction, I show them my product guide. If we talk on the phone, I then email them my product guide because I want them to start thinking, oh, this is more than just digitals. You know, and some people will call me and they'll say, oh no, I just want digitals. And I talk them through it. I say, what are you going to do with those digitals? There are photographers that won't sell a digital. I do sell my digitals.
Yeah.
But I want you to think about what your other options are. And if you want the digitals, great. But think about what your end result will be, and just promise yourself that you'll do something with those digitals.
Yeah.
It's more than just a Facebook post.
You know, absolutely. The struggle I had with products is when people have the digitals that they print inferior products, you know, with the Snapfish and...
They put their own filters on it and then they go to CVS and they'll then come back and
they'll
say...
And then it reflects on your work. Like, who took that thing, you
and
know?
And they'll come back and they'll say, I don't like the color of this. And I say, you know, my labs are calibrated to my screen, first of all, but they're a high quality lab.
Yeah.
Which on a superior, whatever we're printing on, whatever medium it is that we're printing on, whether it's canvas or metal or wood or actual prints, a print is not a print is not a print. You've invested so much up until this point. Let's just see it through.
Yeah.
You know, let's get you that wall art. And I know some people, a lot of my clients are in New York City apartments. We don't really have the space. But maybe it's a smaller piece.
Yeah, you like know, a maybe box it's, with the, yeah, the correct. Prints. Or an album. Something. Totally.
Yeah.
Who do you use for your albums?
I use Millers for my albums.
Oh, yeah, they're good. Yeah. I use Fineo. I'm a Fineo guy.
So I really love Fineo. This wood box I showed you before is one of Fineo's lines. I love them.
That's my mitzvah albums are all Fineo. That's one of my favorite things to do is to, when the mitzvah's over, I don't drop ship any of my albums. They come here. I look through them because like I love going through the party again and everything.
Yeah.
Then I rewrap it and I drive to my clients' houses and ring. In the past, it was go in and see it with them, like flip through it with them and say goodbye. Right. But now it's like I ring the bell and run away, you know,
run away. From the curb. I do that also with my mitzvahs. I'll do that also. And then I also will deliver, if you can,
a little
for those
accordion.
Of you on video, a little accordion that because the album goes to mom, right? The album sits on mom's shelf. Totally. And then the little accordion sits on my mitzvah kids' dresser. I give them three. And I find that they'll take one to school. It sits in their locker, goes on their desk.
That's super cool.
As a thank you. Yes.
So I'm going to throw out some beginner mistakes with baby photography. Yes. And you have to admit if you were guilty of this.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right. Thing number one that I did was not retouching redness of baby skin. It's one thing I didn't understand how to do. And when I look back at some of the early photographs that I had, babies have like their veins and all kinds of stuff showing, which is not flattering.
Right. And they're blotchy.
Blotchy.
And babies, sometimes if babies are born early, they're a little bit more veiny. Sometimes if we shoot post that 15-day mark, that baby acne often comes out. Take out that redness. You know, we want them to what they look like.
What they look
right?
like want them without to, the distractions.
Without the distractions.
So is it something that you used to blotchiness. Deliver? Blotchy and red and
I've always edited baby skin, but I think I did the opposite and I would over edit it.
Yeah.
And they would just look plastic.
That was my next
because
one.
I was so concerned about the red. That like take out that red is one of the first things that I was doing in my editing, but I would do it so much that we lost detail. Like you need to see their eyelashes and the nostrils and
do you use a macro lens? I know a lot of newborn photographers like macro lenses. Do you use?
I don't use a macro.
No.
I find that sometimes it takes me out of my groove. I use two lenses for my newborn photography. I use a 50 and a 24 to 70.
And you shoot Nikon stuff, right?
And I shoot Nikon. I also have a 35. So depending on where and how, and if we're in a prop or if we're in a beanbag. I'm short, I'm 5'2", I've got short arms. And sometimes that 50 doesn't give me what I need. Or if I need to stand on top of a baby in a prop, I'll pop on that 24 to 70.
Cool.
For my family is also, you know, depending on, and my studio space is not super large. So, but those are really my main lenses. I'd say that when I started, I only used a 50. I was told in my creative live workshop, you know, that you need that nifty 50. It should never leave your
That's
camera.
That's the baby lens. Yeah. Yeah.
But I will set, sometimes I'll use that 35 or I'll use that 50 and, we'll then get those baby details without using a macro. And just sort of
That's cool.
edit it in a certain way.
Now, something I used to do, I don't know if you used to do this, but when I first started delivering my child and baby work, I would deliver multiple versions of the same photograph. I don't know if that's a mistake you made, but I would have like a black and white one, a sepia one, and a super hyper color one.
Yeah. So sepia to me screams JCPenney.
Yeah. You know, totally.
And that's what they do at those like big box stores. No, I love babies in color. Sometimes when I will deliver a gallery, I'll show one image in black and white. Sometimes an image will call for it. Sometimes
yeah, but
it's the tone.
It's its own image, though. I mean, I think the mistake I used to make was it was the same
yes.
photograph.
No. We get a color gallery. Color gallery. What I used to do is sort of overshoot the same image. I would give it in black and white and sepia, but I would take that baby in on that side laying pose or in that bucket, and I would then give the parents, you know, 15 of that same image from a slightly different angle.
That's a great point.
They don't look any different. You're confusing them. One of the reasons that my clients tell me that they choose me, and I'm sure people would, you know, choose you for mitzvahs and for families, is not for your camera, but also your overall expertise.
Totally.
You know, you want, as the photographer, you want to tell your clients, I've got this. I know what I'm doing and I'm going to help you. And it is not helping you if I give you 15 of the exact same pose. I'm using my expertise and saying, this is
the one.
This is the angle in this prop. Again, we're going to use lots of props and we're going to do lots of different posing and angles. But, you know, I'm not going to show you your baby from 45 slight different as I turn ever so slightly. I'm going to choose the best from our session.
That's a great point. Absolutely. And that's something I had to learn too, because I would stay on something too long, even though knowing I got it. That takes confidence. That takes doing something over and over and over again. But you could do more with the babies by knowing I got this already. You see it in the back of the camera from doing it so many times that you could go to a next look. And I think a lot of beginners, they have to cull through so many images because they're just overshooting. So that's
It used to take me, days on a gallery because the editing would just take so long. And part of that was I wasn't getting it right in camera first.
Yeah.
So, you know, step one is getting it right in camera, making sure that your lighting is right, making sure that you are for that pose, your light is placed properly. And I'm a studio light photographer. I'm not a natural light photographer. So basically, you know, knowing where to put your light stand is different if they're in a bucket, if they're sort of hands forward on their chin, in a box or proper bucket, or laying on the beanbag. It's different light placement. And, you know, sometimes I like a deeper shadow, but if you get that right in camera and if your white balance is done properly, then it doesn't take as long, but it would take me, years of my life was spent just on Photoshop.
Well, I was going to say stage two, you mentioned stage one is you're like trying to get it right in camera, but stage two is when you are getting it right in camera, but you're just so excited that it's looking good because you're actually starting to get good that you have also overshoot. And then there's stage three when you can shoot three frames and be done with that look, move on to the next thing.
Correct.
So for you intermediate newborn photographers, like move on. You could get more looks, more products. Right. You can build an album by moving on to the next thing.
And now before you move on, make sure that you zoom in. Just take a second, check the back of your camera and just zoom in, right? You can like make sure that you were toggled properly. Make sure that those eyelashes are sharp. Sometimes we think we get it and then we'll go back and we'll pull images up big and we say, ooh, I totally missed focus. So before you move on, just take that second and look at the back of your camera, look at your screen and zoom in, right? Like you got that little, plus sign, which lets you just zoom into your image and make sure that those eyelashes are sharp. I think it's also for many people that are starting off and intermediate and people that have been doing this for 10 years, I will often start with, let's say I put a baby in a bucket. Okay. I will often start with a safe shot that may not be my ultimate, what I want to get from
the
that
hero shot. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like sometimes from a bucket, you can even see like that little, for those of you on video,
I love that
girl
picture.
hanging behind me. That was my safe shot. That one arm hanging down. I really wanted both arms like this. I got that one arm hanging down. I took it. I nailed it.
This was mine right here. This was my safe shot right here.
And I ended up getting that final shot of both arms like this. We then moved on to my final, which I had both arms under her chin so perfectly, but I loved this one so much that it went on my studio wall. There's a lot of things I look for in my newborn work. I like flat hands. Okay. Like not the claws of death that look like the baby is so unsettled, but when their hands are flat, their fingers are flat. If we tuck baby's fingers underneath of their cheek, I like to see a few fingers. It just gives an overall calm, sleepy vibe.
I've seen but that. Some, like it comes out of the swaddle. It comes out,
but that's hard work. But sometimes before I do that, I'll nail that safe shot. It's okay. We can't see the fingers, but she's still perfect. Because sometimes you move those fingers and she's like, it's time to eat.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was my nightmare. Like it was completely, and that goes to another thing, a beginner, I didn't understand times of day. And I would tell the parents, you know, feed the baby beforehand, but then assume that the baby would be sleepy. You know, it's not a guarantee that the baby's going to be, you need techniques, I think, as a baby photographer to get and calm babies down. I would just assume food was the answer and come with my camera. Let's go.
Right. So part of it is timing. I only shoot in the mornings. Babies, you know, as a parent, you know, that witching hour comes at night. My studio hours are in the mornings.
Okay.
It's the heat, it's the white noise, it's the swaddle. Yeah. Every session's different. And some babies need more swaddle. Some babies need a little bit more like tush padding. Some are out cold.
Some babies got that crazy eye, like they're like staring at you the whole time.
And sometimes mom had a salad the night before and the baby is gassy. And sometimes, you know, everything is new. These babies are just learning. Sometimes they scream. Yeah, for 2 hours. And the mom says, oh, I just changed her formula yesterday.
Oh, thanks for that, mama.
I send every parent a prep guide before our session, which gives them some steps to follow to help ensure a smoother session.
Maybe we should talk a little bit or end with safety. I think that if you're getting into newborn photography, parents are entrusting you with their brand new, especially new parents, their week old baby. And so maybe you can talk about what mistakes some people should avoid and what number one, like what are your rules?
So there's one thing I like to, one word we're going to avoid in photography, and that's Pinterest. Okay?
Oh God. Can you do the one where they're hanging? Yeah.
Correct. So we talk about hanging. Okay. One of my very first newborn sessions, I had a baby in a crocheted hammock, and I actually had a parent on either end hang that baby in there, because unless you take the newborn photography, specifically newborn photography classes and workshops on posing, you don't know that baby was never in that hammock. That baby is never hung like that. That is the magic of a composite.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of our work is composite work. And when you get new photographers
that don't know the magic behind,
that don't know that that baby was not actually hanging from this giant swing. Or even doing this.
They really weren't doing this. They were being held, you know.
Exactly. So we call it the froggy pose, right? We've got wrists together. Hands are like this, not around the headset.
Careful with your mic.
Right? And then our feet are sort of tucked up. There's always a spotter. Always a spotter. Even for head on hands, like a simple, I have parents put one finger on their temple, because you never know when a baby is going to hiccup or have, you know, a little bit of reflux that'll just
projectile vomit all over your camera
a little bit. And babies, when they're on their knees, they'll propel themselves forward. So mom is always right there. But because I'm shooting with the lenses that I shoot with, I am right next to that baby. So I am my eye never leaves the baby. So I'm right there.
That's great.
But safety is paramount in newborn photography.
Absolutely.
And when people, you know, you see all these local message groups looking for a cheap starting out photographer for my newborn. No, you sort of want, to know that your baby is in the safest, most experienced hands possible for those 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah. And I think
it's more than just wrapping and throwing them in a bucket.
That's what I used to do. Thank you. It's in a bucket, kind of wrapped.
Yeah.
All right, Steph, this was completely awesome. I think really helpful for people getting into newborn photography, and your photography is so amazing that we have just to thank you for sharing your work with us.
All right, bye, thanks so much.
Okay, so what did we learn from today's episode? Number one, that I'm a terrible newborn photographer, but that's okay. It's good to explore different genres of photography to figure out which ones are not for you. And I think I discovered that pretty quickly, that I didn't have the patience. I have that here. The second thing I learned from Stephanie is that newborn photography takes a great deal of patience. And I'm pretty high strung and high energy. And I just didn't gel with those little humans that are all so small and they cry and they spit up. Next, I love what Stephanie said about shaking it up. And I think maybe that's one way to stay sane. If you don't think you can handle just one type of photography, is to sort of diversify your portfolio, and that way your brain can work in different ways. You could work with adults like headshots, and then on the weekend you could do newborns. So I thought that was interesting, is to mix it up so that your brain is working in different ways. That was pretty good advice. Next, on the business side of photography, I really enjoyed our discussion about setting up your clients' expectations, that they should know what they're getting into from the beginning. What is it that you do? What do you offer? And if you show your clients products and let them hold the products and just let them know that this is what you make at the end, then it makes the whole experience just go a lot easier than if you just, you know, book a session and then later the client expects full digitals. They don't know what they're getting. So setting up your client's expectations and creating great products that they could buy will make your business more successful. Also, it was interesting to discuss the efficiency of your photography. Are you overshooting the same thing? Are you over-editing and over-delivering? So the efficiency of your business and your workflow is important to be sustainable. You shouldn't be spending 2 weeks on one picture. So I thought that was great. And of course, we all have stages where we can, you know, just hash out a portrait session in an hour, just edit the whole thing. That gives you more time to do other things. So work on your efficiency, understand if you're overshooting, if you're over-delivering too many images. That kind of thing is, it goes a long way into growing your business. All right, I want to thank Stephanie Diamond. This was a great episode. I'll see you guys on the next Photographer's Eye podcast.